Hello, I'm Dr. Steve Showalter, your host for Science Elements, a digest of cutting-edge research from the American Chemical Society, the world's largest scientific society. Pollution isn't just a nuisance, it's a killer. According to one recent study, outdoor pollution caused more than 3 million premature deaths worldwide in 2010. Two-thirds of those deaths occurred in Asia, where air quality is often murky at best. In Beijing, for example, the air quality index frequently exceeds 300. That's about 10 times worse than in Bakersfield, California, which has the dubious distinction of being home to America's worst air quality. A good portion of this pollution is soot, produced by traditional cooking stoves in the developing world, diesel engines, and coal-fired power plants. These particles contribute to the onset of lung cancer, heart disease, high blood pressure, and a host of other ailments. Unfortunately, soot, like airborne particles, drifts. In fact, researchers estimate that one-third of the soot floating around the air above the San Francisco Bay Area originated in Asia. In this episode, we explore what scientists are learning about the sources of soot and what might be done to dampen its adverse effects. So in the next few minutes, you'll hear about why a new study is raising concerns about certain types of cook stoves, how scientists found a way to release the energy in coal without burning, and finally, in a related story, how a hybrid mixture of sand and paraffin could help keep campers warm at night. A new study raises concerns about possible health impacts of very small particles of soot released from the improvised cook stoves that international aid agencies are promoting to replace open-fire cooking in developing countries. The report by scientists in Canada appears in Environmental Science and Technology, a semi-monthly ACS journal. Brian Justin and colleagues point out that 3 billion people worldwide still cook meals on stoves or open fires that burn wood, animal dung, or other biomass fuels. In addition to causing health problems, soot released in the smoke could be a factor in global warming. In an effort to remedy the situation, aid agencies plan the distribution of 100 million new, clean-burning cook stoves during the next 10 years. However, concerns have arisen about pollutants released by these stoves. Just's team focused on emissions of ultrafine soot particles linked to some of the most serious health problems. In laboratory tests, they compared two styles of improved cook stoves to a traditional three-stone open fire burning wood. Overall, improved stoves did release much lower levels of soot. However, per quantity of fuel burned, they did not emit significantly smaller amounts of soot, and, in comparison to open fire, improved cook stoves produce three times more ultrafine particles, which can penetrate deeply into the lungs. Just notes that the tests accounted for only a narrow range of operating conditions. But for these conditions, it appears that new cook stoves are not automatic fixes to the health problems associated with cooking activities. He concludes that given improved cook stoves' recent funding and attention, continued improvement in our understanding of emissions and end effects is important. Scientists in Ohio say they have reached a milestone in their efforts to develop an innovative process that releases the energy in coal without burning. The process, which also captures carbon dioxide, a major greenhouse gas, is described in Energy and Fuels, a bi-monthly ACS journal. In their report, Yongxi Fan and colleagues reveal the results of a successful 200-hour test on a sub-pilot scale version of the technology using two inexpensive but highly polluting forms of coal. They say this effort could help propel the process toward commercial use. Fan explains that carbon capture and sequestration ranks high among the approaches for reducing coal-related emissions of the carbon dioxide linked to global warming. This approach involves separating and collecting carbon dioxide before it leaves smokestacks. For more than a decade, Fan's team has been working on two versions of carbon capture. One is called syngas chemical looping, or SCL. The other is coal direct chemical looping, or CDCL. These processes oxidize coal, syngas, or natural gas in a sealed chamber, but they do so without the atmospheric oxygen normally involved in conventional burning. Metal compounds containing oxygen are also in the chamber. They provide the oxygen for oxidation, take up the coal's energy, then release it as heat in a second chamber, and circulate back for another run in the first chamber. Their report describes the longest continuous operation of the CDCL test system. It operated successfully for 200 hours without an involuntary shutdown. The system used sub-bituminous and lignite coals, which are the main source of carbon dioxide emissions at U.S. coal-fired power plants. The carbon dioxide captured during operation had a purity of 99.5%. In our final story this week, the quest for alternative energy heats up at the beach. Scientists in China say they have developed a high-tech combination of paraffin wax and sand capable of storing heat captured from the sun. Their report on the heat-storing capability of this micro-encapsulated sand appears in ACS Sustainable Chemistry and Engineering, a monthly society publication. Bin-Shia Li and colleagues explain the need for better materials that can store and release heat. These so-called phase-change materials, or PCMs, are essential for storing heat from the sun so it can be used to provide energy at night or during cloudy periods. PCMs absorb, store, and then release heat when changing phases from a solid to a liquid and vice versa. They have numerous applications ranging from expanding the use of solar energy to heat-regulating greenhouses. They also could be used in clothing so that soldiers or campers can stay warm on cold nights outdoors. However, existing PCMs have disadvantages. These include a tendency to leak or catch on fire, so Lee's team set out to find a better material. The researchers created a new approach using paraffin as a PCM. It involves encapsulating the paraffin into tiny spheres of silicon dioxide, the stuff of beach sand. The micro-encapsulated paraffin has several advantages, including a large surface area that can transfer heat. The new composite is less reactive with the environment and is less likely to leak as it changes phases. Lee's team successfully tested the material for 30 melting, solidifying cycles with no leaks at a temperature of 158 degrees Fahrenheit. Lee says the composite's high heat storage capability and good thermal stability could make storing thermal energy more practical. Like many of you, we'll be at the 245th ACS National Meeting in New Orleans next week. We'll return on April 15th with a full report on some of the exciting news we gathered there. Until then, I'm Dr. Steve Showalter for the American Chemical Society. Science Elements is adapted for podcasts from ACS press releases in the ACS Weekly Press Pack. To access this week's Press Pack, March 27th, 2013, go to www.acs.org/pressroom. From all of us at Science Elements, thanks for listening.